The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching the program The Second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, in which we talk about the virtues, the excellences, the merits, the qualities, the attributes of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, and we try to learn from his seerah, we try to derive some pearls of wisdom from his blessed seerah, so that we can also implement in our lives, we can also follow the footsteps of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu in order to make our life in this world and in the hereafter better. Dear viewers, now we will talk about the sayings of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, that what beautiful sayings he mentioned at certain occasions and what great pearls of wisdom they hold for us. And this also shows the greatness of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu. So whenever Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu would utter a statement, it would be for teaching purposes. It would be for the purposes of reformation, to guide someone, to teach someone. And even we see in the seerah of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu that he would go to inquire after the ill, and even at that moment of time when he would speak, he would make the heart of the other person happy. So from every perspective, alhamdulillah, when we look at the seerah of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, we find his seerah to be incredible, and a seerah that serves as a guidance of beacon for all of us, every single one of us, regardless of whichever walk of life we belong to, for us to follow. So inshallah, we'll talk about the sayings of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, and try to ponder and reflect upon our own state in the light of those very sayings. And we'll also see that what lessons it holds for us, inshallah, azza wa jal. But first, let's listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, this very excellence of sending salawat upon the prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam, holds a lot of excellence from the perspective of being successful in the hereafter as well, on the Day of Judgment in particular. Because the Day of Judgment, dear viewers, is that day that will be 50,000 years long. And the day when sun will be blazing hot, it will be only a quarter mile away from us, and it will be facing us. And the earth will be made of copper, and the people will be drowning within their own sweat. And the horrors and other severities of the Day of Judgment are also in addition to this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has mentioned a beautiful way for us to attain salvation from these horrors, these severities of the Day of Judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says that, O people, undoubtedly from the terrors and accountability of the Day of Judgment, the person who would attain the quick salvation will be the one who would have recited Salat upon me in abundance in this world. Allahu Akbar. So we pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah also include us amongst those who attain this honor, where we are amongst those who attain quick salvation from the horrors and accountability of the Day of Judgment. Allahumma ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So dear viewers, we're talking about the sayings of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that at different occasions, what sayings he radiyallahu anhu mentioned. And when we look at the personality of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, he radiyallahu anhu is a source of guidance. Whichever perspective, whichever walk of life you want to talk about, you will see Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu as a source of guidance. Now, Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu never uttered anything useless. Whenever Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu would utter anything, he would say anything, it would be for the guidance of the Muslim Ummah, for the people. It would be guidance. It would be something to teach them, to reform them, to guide them towards the truth. Now, at different occasions, Sayyidina Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, he delivered sermons, he delivered instructions, he gave people du'as. And if we look closely at his as his sayings, we will find them to be comprising of reformation, reformation of deeds, comprising of conveying the message of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comprising of the message of adopting humility and humbleness, comprising of the message of developing a concern for the hereafter, so and so forth. So his all these statements, whatever he would mention, it would be fulfilling the religious needs of people around guiding the people. It wouldn't be a case that he radiallahu anhu would ma'adallah utter anything useless. Now, again, the amount of instructions, the amount of reformatory speeches that he delivered, of course we cannot cover all of them, but to attain blessings insha'Allah azza wa jal, we will cover some of the sayings of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu and also see that what a lesson it holds for us as well. Now there's a very interesting saying of Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu in regards to Satan and its offspring. Let's listen to this very statement. So the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, says there are 9 children of Satan. Their names are Zalitun, Wathin, Laqus, A'wan, Haffaf, Murrah, Musawwit, Dasim, and Walahan. So these are the 9 names of the 9 offspring of Satan. Now every single one of them are appointed at a certain task. Now Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu is guiding us further onto every single one of them and what task are they appointed at by Satan. So first of all, Zalitun. So Zalitun is the Satan, is the Shaitan that is appointed at the marketplaces. So it has its flag hoisted in marketplaces in order to misguide the people who come to buy and sell over there. So Zalitun is that very offspring of Satan who misguide people in marketplaces. Second was Wathin. Waw, Tha, Ya, Noon. Wathin. Now, this is that offspring of Satan who inflicts hardships, who inflicts calamities upon people. The third was A'wan. Who is A'wan? A'wan is that offspring of Satan who is appointed on misguiding kings and rulers. Next one is Haffaf. Haffaf is the offspring of Satan that is appointed on making people consume alcohol. Then the next one is Murrah. Murrah is that offspring of Satan who is appointed on those people who engage in playing musical instruments. Next one, Laqus. Laqus is that offspring of Satan that are the shaitan of fire worshippers. Then we have Musawwit. Now Musawwit, this is that offspring of shaitan who is appointed on spreading false rumors, such news that has no base, that is not anywhere close to reality. And the next one is Dasim. Now Dasim is that Satan who is appointed at houses, at our homes. Now when a person enters home and he neither says salam, nor does he take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this very Satan, Dasim, he spreads chaos in the house, he spreads havoc in the house, mischief, discord in the house, to the extent that it leads to divorce or even fight and quarrels. And then last is Walahan. Walahan, this very Satan is appointed on creating satanic whispers in the hearts of those who perform wudu and offer salah and other forms of worship. So dear viewers, such an interesting narration Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu mentioned regarding the offspring of Satan. These are the 9 offspring of Satan who are appointed at different places in order to misguide the people. And when we look closely into every single one of them, we see that even in marketplaces, How many sins are committed over there? We see that how many people are engaged playing musical instruments. We see how many rulers and kings we see who are oppressive, who are tyrant, and how many times people are inflicted with hardships and so many things. So throughout this narration, we see that 9 offspring of Satan are appointed for different types of tasks. Now, one very important point, dear viewers, that I want to shed a bit more light on is on the offspring of Shaitan, whose name was Dasim, who's appointed at homes, at our houses. Now, what did we learn in this whilst talking about him? That when a person enters his home and he neither says salam, nor does he take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now this very Satan, he creates a discord in the house, which often leads to a divorce or even quarrels and fights. So this is very important for us to understand, dear viewers, that whenever we enter our home, what should we do? We should say salam in a loud voice to everyone. If, for example, there's no one at home, then we are encouraged to say salam to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, as the blessed soul of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is present in the house of every Muslim. Now, dear viewers, this is commonly seen in our society where we come across unrest and a lot of stress in our families, in our houses. But if you look closely, we come to know that hardly anyone in the house would be taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would be entering the house and saying salam to the household, which we've been instructed in narrations to do so. But because of our distance from the knowledge of Islam, unfortunately, we don't act upon these very teachings, which results in, of course, fights in divorces, unfortunately, and many other issues. So let's make an intention that whenever we enter home, we would say salam loudly, we would recite Surah Ikhlas, and we would take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perform some dhikr, inshallah, this will bring blessings in our home. And another factor, dear viewers, that we need to understand from this very narration, where we covered the 9 offspring of Satan. Another thing that we need to cover over here is that along with this narration, we've also been warned in the Holy Quran, Surah Yusuf, verse number 5, where Allah Almighty says that Satan is the open enemy of human. So it is crystal clear, absolutely clear to us, that Satan, the accursed, is our open enemy. Now take this example this way, that there's an army and there are 2 different battalions. Now one battalion is told that who their enemy is, how to attack him, how to attack the enemy, and how to overcome the enemy, how to dominate the enemy. And now there's the second battalion. They're not told about the enemy at all. They're not told who the enemy is. They're not told how to overcome the enemy. And they're not told about the dangers of the enemy either. Now, which battalion do you think would be better off from the perspective of overcoming the enemy? Of course, the first one. Because they've been told who their enemy is. They've been told how to save themselves from the attack of the enemy. They've been told how to overcome the enemy. So the first battalion is better. Now, if we put the same example on ourselves, we can see that we've been told who our open enemy is, Satan the accursed. In the Holy Quran, we've been told that Satan the accursed is our open enemy. We've been told how to safeguard ourselves against Satan the accursed, refraining from sins, controlling our nafs, suppressing our nafs, so on and so forth. But yet, despite all this, if we still fail to fight Satan, if we still fail to overcome Satan, then who's at loss? Who's the one to blame? We've been told the methods. What we need to do is adopt those methods. Our enemy is has openly been disclosed to us that who our enemy is. Satan the accursed is our enemy. We should make sure that we don't fall prey to his trap, and we adopt all those means which we've been instructed to adopt in Quran and Hadith in order to overcome Satan. Let's carry further, dear viewers, in regards to listening to the sayings of Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu anhu. Again, when we go through the sayings of Faruq-i Azam radiyallahu anhu, we see that how beautifully he radiyallahu anhu guides us, teaches us, reforms us from various perspectives on different subjects of Islam. Because if we talk about the character development of a Muslim, then we should have sincerity. We should be free of showing off, ostentation. We should be generous. We shouldn't be stingy. And there's so many other elements that combined together form the character of a good Muslim. Now, the sayings of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, they guided people from many perspectives on different elements of Islam. Now, once Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he saw someone, another person who had his neck, his head bowed down, a bit lowered, to which he radiallahu anhu said to him that, oh, the one who's kept his neck lowered, raise your neck, because humility and humbleness that is not found in lowering the necks, but it is in the heart. And in another narration, it is stated, once after offering Fajr Salah, one person sought permission from Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu to advise people so that he could convey something to people, to which Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu stopped him from. He forbade him from doing so. He said in the court of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu that, are you stopping me from advising people, from doing waaz to people, from teaching them or conveying them something good? To which Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu said that, I fear you become arrogant over it. You become boasting upon it. Now, dear viewers, when we look closely into these narrations, we can see that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he's again guiding and he's teaching all these individuals very important and fundamental aspects of religion. He's teaching them sincerity. He's teaching them humility and humbleness. He's teaching them that the physical actions, they do not mean anything unless the same intent is not found in our hearts. He's teaching them that you teaching someone, if you advise someone and then you become arrogant over it or you start boasting upon it, rather than this, it is better for you not to say anything, because at least in this way, you'll be saved from a grave sin. Yes, dear viewers, showing off or being boastful over something, these are very, very detrimental sins. And Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu not only saved them from these sins, but also guided them, taught them that what sincerity actually is. And they have to make sure that they refrain from showing off or from boasting. Similarly, when we talk about other acts of other forms of worship as well, same principle applies over there as well. When it comes to offering salah, when it comes to reciting the Quran, when it comes to performing the Hajj, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to giving zakat, so on and so forth, every single act of ours should be intended for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any element of showing off. In these two things, Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu severely, you can say in other words, and completely obliterated any possibility of showing off to have been mixed in the actions of those very individuals. And he saved them from having any element of showing off. And in other words, he radiallahu anhu also taught them how to purify their actions, how to have sincerity in their actions. And through these narrations, we also come to know the importance of sincerity, the importance of having our actions free of showing off and free of insincerity. Because sincerity in an action is key to the acceptance of the action. Always remember this, viewers of Madani Channel. Now, when we're talking about ostentation, showing off, then at the same, and we're talking about boasting upon something that we end up doing, at the same time, then we need to understand that this would mean a person adopts humbleness, humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because humbleness, humility is something that elevates the ranks of a person, and this is something which brings about the acceptance of an action of a person. Regarding humility, Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he states that when a person adopts humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates his ranks and stations. Subhanallah. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu again is guiding us that adopt humility, adopt humbleness, but for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the one who adopts humility just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty elevates his ranks, raises his ranks. So something amazing for us to learn from the statements of Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu and the seerah of Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu. Dear viewers, Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that 10 things cannot be right without 10 things. Then he continued to say that intellect cannot be right without taqwa. Excellence cannot be right without knowledge. Success cannot be right without the fear of Allah. Kingship, rule cannot be right without justice. Allahu Akbar. Hasb cannot be right without adab, without respect. Happiness cannot be right without peace. Generosity cannot be right without prosperity, without financial affluence. Poverty cannot be right without contentment. Elevation, being elevated in something, cannot be right without humbleness, without humility. And jihad cannot be right without tawfiq. Now again, dear viewers, subhanallah, what great pearls of wisdom Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiallahu anhu has mentioned in this very statement, where he says 10 things cannot be right without 10 things, and every single one of them within their own hold ample lessons for us, where we need to understand that what is the point of that intellect that doesn't have any taqwa? What is the point of such excellence that doesn't have any knowledge? What is the point of that success that is without any fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the point of such kingship, such rule, which is void of justice? What is the point of that happiness that doesn't have any peace in it? And then such destitution, such poverty, if there's no contentment in it, then this is something which is not right for a person. And elevation of a person without having humbleness, without having humility, this is again something which isn't right. And if a person attains any designation, any rank, and doesn't have any humility in his nature, then this is something very, very dangerous for him. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, in today's episode, we try to cover some of the sayings of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and we try to learn some of the valuable lessons that we find within those beautiful statements that are full of wisdom and that guide us from many perspectives, as in how should we beautify our own character? How can we beautify our own selves? Inshallah, we will continue this very discussion in our upcoming episodes as well. So make sure that you stay tuned into Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.